Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
I count them blessings when I wake up.
and now I show them. I'm climbing ladders like I'm Jacob, splitting seas up like I'm Moses. I was hurting, I was broken, I was drowning in emotions. Now I'm proud of every moment, screaming out loud in the open. Yeah, I made it, oh yeah, I made it.
Oh, yeah, I made it.
And not ashamed of getting older, every birthday celebrated. I got homies that ain't make it, so I'm thankful and I praise them. I got arms so I raise them. I've been humble, I've been patient, hold up. All I need is your love, soon as your spirit show up, I know them blessings gonna overfill my cup.
Mm-hmm. I count them blessings when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I got the promises of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he'll never forsake us. Each one of us gonna make it, no matter how long it takes us.
Mm-hmm.
I count them blessings when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I got the promises of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he'll never forsake us.
Okay.
Surrounded by darkness.
You the lamp in my feet, snare on my beat. When I'm all alone, the only one there for me. You the only one that care for me. When everybody abandoned me, I still made it. I still made it. And not ashamed of getting older. Every birthday celebrated. I got homies that ain't making, so I'm thankful and I praise them. I got arms and so I raise them. I've been humble, I've been patient. Hold up. All I need is your love. Soon as your spirit show up, overfill my cup.
Mm-hmm. I count them blessings when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I got the promises of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he'll never forsake us. Each one of us gonna make it, no matter how long it takes us.
Mm-hmm.
I count them blessings when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I got the promises of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he'll never forsake us. Each one of us gonna make it, no matter how long it takes.
Sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Da Vinci Clothing. Pardon the voice a little bit. I'm still recovering from the flu, but I'm here, damn it. I'm here giving y'all the realness, giving y'all the dopest interviews, giving y'all the dopest content. And I'm here with my host, T-Mash with the Facts tonight. What's good, man?
Man, what it do, what it do. Another tremendously terrific Thursday, live and direct on that fresh frequency of outstanding, known as OTC. Shout out to our co-host of Spirit of the Lot of Family Relations Show. Four shout out to DJ Sissy of Dirty Bass Radio up in NY. We see you. Four shout out to my man, Brandon Turner, Bezo TV. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very special, special show we have tonight. Shout out to Jack Doe for making this connect for us. We had him on a few years back. This young lady on tonight is anointed in her artistry of lyrical lift up. She is gloriously gifted. She did it like Kobe, rest in peace, coming out at 17, fulfilling her dream, going straight to the pros out of high school, going on Def Jam Records, through furious flaming freestyles, and of course features with EPMD and Pharrell Monch, just to name a few. She is still rapid fire, with the lyrics, with the rhymes. She is still uplifting with her unique blend of hip-hop. And she is with us tonight to tell her story of her journey through, how could we say this, the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and ultimately the terrific triumph that leads us to the trail of where she is today. Ladies and gentlemen, without any ado, Miss Lady Luck, welcome.
Hey, what an introduction. I hope you guys are recording that. I'm going to have to run that back when other places, when they don't know what they're doing. Oh, what an introduction.
That's why I be having
you
back to the introductions now. He make y'all feel like prize fighters coming out there to the show now. I'm tired from that job.
Nah, that wasn't prize fight. That was Game of Thrones material. That was the introduction.
Yes, indeed.
You are very welcome.
Y'all don't watch Game of Thrones, and that just disappointed me.
Man, we do. We've seen it. You know what I'm saying? It was a show in terms of the themes of it because it carried a lot of medieval, but in terms, I'm big on words. So watching shows like that, because they try to be as historically accurate in terms of the dialect, accent, structure, and everything that would be consistent with that time period. Whether any shows like Deadwood, you know, any of the Roman movies, you know, anything like that, the English is always of the utmost imperative to give the proper expression to what it is, where they say thine, thus, knave, slave, wench. For all my English majors out here, you're going to be familiar with all of that. Lady, this has been a long time coming. We are so blessed. We are so humble. We are so happy to have you on finally with us. You have quite a history. And I thought and I'm glad I can use some of the cheat codes that I put on my page. Because that was just a little bit of that Source magazine from the Diary of a New Jack series. I have all of them from 19. Yeah. I got all of them from 1994 to up. Yeah.
That's fire, man. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Well,
we've been collecting,
a lot of... I think we have that... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go right ahead.
Nah, I'm just thankful to still have people like you guys supporting me, still have, you know, somebody like Jack Doe in my corner and believing in me. So, definitely thankful to be here.
Absolutely. When you said believing in you, you know, when we look at your history that is long and distinguished, you have been through a lot in this industry. And going back over 20-plus years, it's a lot. You know, we're looking at how the game is today in terms of how artists get on, how they're marketed. You came along in an entirely different time, lady, in terms of how the industry worked. But we got to take it back to the genesis, like Nas. So let's take it from the beginning up to now. We got a little bit of time. We know you got a story to tell, like Big. So let's open the book up and let's pen another marvelous chapter in your illustrious career. Let's go. Tell everybody about yourself.
I hope I can be as articulate as you throughout the evening. My name is Lady Luck, hip-hop recording artist, Jersey. I like to call myself a creative because there's so much more to this, so many different facets. I come from the legendary Sugar Hill Gang, so that's a part of my family. Grew up with that heritage. My mom is the first person to promote rap music, went state to state, made sure it's out on the radio, so shout out to Don Lee. Got signed to Def Jam at 17, had the very publicized, famous battle, me and Remy Ma, family members, TV show, 2017, first family in hip hop. And in between there, you know, some good things. So, I'm just extremely blessed after all these years to, still be what they call relevant.
Absolutely. Now, when you spoke on the Sugar Hill Gang lady, you that would be Sylvia Rome and that whole crew in terms of what was going on.
Robinson.
Thank you. I always get Rome and Robinson mixed up. Thank you for that correction. Yes, Robinson. So, yes. So, I mean, obviously, your rhyming, obviously, the DNA of that legacy is embedded in you, you know. But what Sylvia did, you know, what she started with the label, what came from it, you know, Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang, it was a continuation of what was already going on. The history of hip-hop, rap, some would say it goes back to James Brown. Some would say it goes to the Last Poets. They all have similarities in terms of where it all ultimately would evolve and evolve to through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even to the, and of course in the 80s, as it really, really began to culminate into this, what we know it as today. From a young age, and you were, when you look at the music, from how it really began to grab you and ultimately shape you and mold you. From when you first heard it, what were your first impressions in terms of who were some of your favorite rappers you heard growing up that were really like kind of paved the way for you?
Of course, MC Light, Queen Latifah, Boogie Down Productions, Naughty by Nature. But what made me want to rap is Audio 2. And shout out to them. One night I heard that on 98.7, and then my mom came home after a night of, you know, being out, and she wrote my first rhyme for me. Mm-hmm. And it was on ever since.
Now, growing up in Jersey, you know, Jersey has a very, very diverse musical history. Of course, Redman, Queen Latifah, Whitney Houston, of course, thrash metal bands like Overkill, you know, bands like Skid Row, you know, the singer Glenn Danzig from Lodi, of course, Zach Wild from Bayonne, who plays for Ozzy Osbourne, has his own band, Black Label Society. A lot of big G's out there, too, like Sean Hartwell. Shout out to Elizabeth, you know, E-Port. You know, what was it like growing up in Jersey? What was the experience for you in terms of just how, you know, being in the hood and just seeing what was going on and how that influenced you as well in terms of, you know, how it shaped you in terms of your writing as you went on?
Where I was at in Jersey was a special place because it's Bergen County. So go to the supermarket and run into a Little Kim, or you can be walking out at lunchtime and run into Corrupt from, you know, the dog pound. He's outside of the lunch break. Like, that really happened. We on our lunch break, me and my partner, we see Corrupt. We start talking to him, and we outside Demo Wet Crib. You know, then it goes on to meet Foxy Brown and things of that nature. That's that era. So you got to really, and me, I got to experience things. So even though I didn't sign to Sugar Hill or work with them, you know, my cousin Leland throw a barbecue, I see a Missy Elliott before she blow up. Or me and my friends somehow get Devontae's number. So now we prank calling Elgin, who turned out to be Genuine. You just really, you in the mix and don't really know you in the mix. You know what I mean? You damn near take it for granted because of, you know, somebody. That's one thing about Bergen County. Somebody's always related to somebody. So it's hard for a lot of people to treat you like you're special because this person's uncle is the president of this label, so they know everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that area that I was at, it was, you know, it was definitely interesting.
Especially for a lot of the networking at the time, too, because being that everybody, the East Coast was going back to hitting another stride in the late 90s around the time you was getting on. And I think that a lot of people will remember you being on as a part of the Jay-Z backstage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first thing that the first thing that I was on was EPMD. They put me on Out of Business, me, Redman, Method Man. But the first day I got signed to Def Jam, we were at the backstage concert. So I left my lawyer's office, signed the contract, and then literally went straight there. Rainy night, I remember getting on the bus, Case was on there, you know, a bunch of different people. So, yeah, I'm on the soundtrack, me and Redman. Shout out Redman, come get it.
Man,
yeah, you getting on that track, and you getting on that track, did you feel any type of pressure getting on there with those guys? Because, oh, that was like a loaded roster when it came to the feet.
Yeah, I mean, EPMD, I'm in car service. I had three different verses. I wrote a new verse on the way there. You know, of course you feel pressured. I went from rapping on the radio the week before to being signed to the biggest rap label in the world and going to work with iconic artists. So, yeah, it was definitely pressure.
I mean, we look at that time, lady. Def Jam was the preeminent label. And for those that know their history of the culture, you know, what Russell and Rick Rubin started, of course, with LL being the first artist, they're still a staple. The Backstage soundtrack, needless to say, that in the movie was just fucking fire. I still have the cassette and the CD today of it. I mean, and to just think about that era. Shout out to Dimension Pictures for filming all of it. What was that era like in terms of the shows and just being around everybody in terms of that whole feel of it?
Well, I didn't go on tour with them. I just saw, you know, their performance in their performance in New York.
Yeah. Right.
But just that whole era was magical. So even though it wasn't an era where, like, I put out an album and became a Nicki Minaj or whatever, just being a part of that golden era to me was priceless. You know, you have Jay-Z and Rockefeller. I'm there at the pinnacle of everybody's career. So it's Rockefeller, it's Murder, Inc., you know what I mean? It's Drew Hill, and then everybody's artists under that. It's LL Cool J, it's Foxy Brown, it's Jinx the Juvie. You know, other artists. Yeah, so it was a magical time to be there and be a part of, you know, different things, Redman and Method Man, and you know, it was definitely it was a show to be seen. It was a sight to be seen.
You mentioned Jinx the Juvie, and I'm thinking about him on Kool G Rap's Roots of Evil album. I'm like, yo.
You got to remember, this is when Cameron signed in the Rockefeller. This is when Ludacris signed. This is when Noriega signed. So it was a lot, and, you know, Funkmaster Flex putting out albums. It was a lot of heavy hitters up there at that time.
And to expand on that history, lady, when you talk about Funkmaster Flex, of course, the 60 Minutes of Funk series that he would have, you know, Cameron, of course, with his Confessions of Fire, you know, of course, that was his debut. Then, of course, SDE, Sports Drugs Entertainment, you know, the Rockefeller signing will come later. I mean, Ludacris, of course, you know, being the first act signed to Def Jam South with Scarface, you know, being the head of it.
Scarface was over there. It was a lot of people over there. Shout out to Face.
Yeah.
Face Mom.
I mean,
Melton Pot.
Yeah. So this is a time where we're looking at everybody. Me and my brother King, we talk about this all the time, that era.
I'm wilding. I rest in peace to DMX. We talking about DMX being
Yeah, just
you know what I mean? Like this is not a Def Jam was not playing games at this time.
I mean,
Montel
probably.
Jordan, you know, Kelly Price. I mean, don't forget about Def Island.
Like,
it was
112.
Yeah, Def Gold.
112.
Yeah, it was a lot. Mm-hmm. It was a lot.
Yeah. Arguably during that time, y'all, we'd have to say that Loud and Def Jam probably had the shit on lock the most. I mean, you know, when we look at the roster Loud had, of course, Exhibit, you know, Mobb Deep, you know, it was just
Wu-Tang.
I mean, that's the story in itself.
M.O.P.
M.O.P. Shout out to Billy Gibbons.
I went to a bunch of labels. I went to Loud. I went to Bad Boy. I went to Columbia. We was all over the place before we signed to Def Jam.
Okay. And this is a perfect segue to that, because what you were just saying about the label negotiations, also in addition to the time of the cruise, was also the publication. You know where I'm going with this, Miss Lady. You...
No, I don't.
You, Cap One, and Lil Buddy were featured in the Source Run in the early 2000s, Diary of a New Jack.
Yeah, shout out to Lil King. I spoke to her the other day.
Yeah. Because it was also the age of magazine publications as well. Double XL, Blaze, Vibe. It was something to be in those publications, because if you were in there, you were really, really making headway. Before we get into how you got in it, because this is after you signed your deal with Def Jam, once you get profiled in the magazine, and we're going to get to that about how you got that call along, how you were chosen with those other artists to be in it and featured. What were the negotiations like at that time in terms of what it meant to be negotiating with a label? Take us through, we got time. Take us through the whole process.
No, we don't got time. I'm sitting here like, would Jack sign me up for the biography series? No, I'm messing with you. I don't really recall that whole negotiation thing, you know, because it was done in 30 days. It was done really quick.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, around on the radio, and we just had meetings with a lot of different labels. Def Jam threw their paperwork out there. They were very aggressive, and they wanted to sign me car service, and they sending me all kind of gifts and showing up to my school, and Kevin Lyles eating dinner at my house. It was really crazy. So they definitely courted me, and they promised me a lot. As far as the Source magazine, me and Aaliyah was laughing about this the other day, because the New Yorker magazine was scheduled to be at my school the first day of school, 12th grade. So this girl is walking around following me, and, you know, I had a little following, whatever. So I'm telling her, so I'm thinking she lost. So I think she's a new student, so I'm just being cool, showing her around the building. So right when the bell rang, she called me in the bathroom like, yo, I got to tell you a secret. I'm thinking she about to tell me she got a crush on me. And she going to tell me that she's from the Source magazine, and she looked like a student. And she was saying that she didn't get clearance to be there. And I was like, it's all good. So my first day of school in 12th grade, I had two of the biggest publications following me.
Man.
That's how you got it.
Yeah. And when you were talking about the gift, because we can't forget that pendant that you got, that dope-ass clover pendant that you got along the way with it.
Nah, that didn't come with the gift. That came out of my pocket.
Oh, that came out your pocket. Okay, I thought that was part of the.
And then when times got hard, it went back in my pocket.
I understand. Look, we know how it go. We know how it go. Obviously, you.
Yeah, I was gonna shoot this to her here. I was gonna shoot this to her here too. So I got the new single we just played on there to start the show off. What was the motivation behind that, and how your audience is taking heed to that song?
Well, for one, the motivation is, like, I've been through a lot in my life. I've been through heavy depression. I've been through suicide. I've been through a lot in my life, and I just got tired of darkness. So it was around a time where I just decided I just ain't want it no more. So, like, I remember Remy, she was freestyling on Tony Red's show, Rest in Peace, and she had mentioned my name, and I know when I watched it, it was probably an old rhyme she ain't remember. It was just spitting, and didn't know I was in. But everybody tried to get me so gassed up, and I started to try to write, you know, battle raps towards her and stuff, but it just wasn't in my spirit, and I got tired of beefing with the bitch for 20 years. You know, I've done a lot of meditation. I've been to jail. I've had a journey, you know, and instead of writing the rhyme dissing her, I put out a rap where I shouted out all the female rappers. And all of them been on my page, you know, one post or another showing love to it, whether it be Cardi or Missy Elliott or Nicki Minaj. Shout out to my bitch, Nicki. So it's been, you know, I started there. And then I started to get a closer relationship to Yahweh. And just I just wanted to raise the frequency, man. Like, I'm too, like, I can't be the age I'm at now, experience everything I did and still rap about drugs and clubs and hoes and all that stuff that I did my whole career. Like, that's not where I'm at, for one. And for two, it's like, I can't rap about those things I survived and glorify it to the next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about setting new standards. Setting new standards with different frequencies.
Yeah, but it could be fire, like, because people make positive music, and sometimes it be corny, you know, so that's where we find it, our medium, you know, to make some fire in between, like, where it's not preachy, but you can vibe to it, but at the same time, I'm giving you some jewels.
And those are important in terms of the balance, because when we look at where it is, where you started, the game was totally different in terms of how the music was marketed, what was played, you know, how artists were signed. Obviously, listening to it, lady, you brought a vibe of elevation, a vibe of positivity, a vibe of optimism and hope. And letting all the past things that troubled you, you know, you were lifting, you know, you had the weights attached to you that were holding you back instead of making you stronger in terms of lifting. And as you let that go, you were able to fly to where you're at today.
God damn, you good at this shit, nigga. I ain't gonna lie, you are good at what you do. Go ahead. I feel like I'm getting a massage as you say this. Go ahead. I love you.
Man, little boo, that's what we do. We're here to inspire, invigorate, and help to further the create. From the Most High that has given us our gifts, we pass those off into the present. It's the gift that keeps on giving beyond the present. When you're looking at what was going on at the time, when you're looking at how you and Remy, you know, you had your differences. Back with her back in the day, it was a different time, because you and her, it was strictly a lyrical thing. There was never a threat of violence.
And no, I don't know about all that.
Okay, then there is. I got it fucked up. Let me know, because you know, because we want to try to get as much accuracy without, you know, being.
I don't know. Well, shout out, Rem. It was 20 years ago to the year. I think it was 20 years ago, yeah. Nah, I ain't got no issue with Shorty. Shorty ain't got no issue with me. I don't remember to the T, but I definitely remember there was some threats going back and forth between the two of us. Hotheads, you know?
Understood. Say less. And, you know, but, you know, it was something, when we came off of the situation in 96 and 97, losing Biggie and Pac, and those weren't the only casualties we had in the culture along the way. But there was kind of a moratorium where we kind of, as a unit, a lot of artists understood that this shit can get real at any point. And, you know, and you didn't want to get loose on the lines because, like Kool G Rap once said, you don't want to get loose, Chief, because I'm laying more flat lines for niggas than loose leaves. So I think people understood where it could go. We're seeing a time now where beefs are not only prevalent, they're being promoted. And it's not just about a lot of talking. There's a lot of action behind it. You know, you came from an era where it really had to get serious for something to go down. And it's almost like today, nobody really has to do much of anything for somebody to get slayed in the worst way. What are your feelings about what's happening in the culture today, how artists are handling those problems, how the music is being promoted, how social media has played a part in all of this?
Violence has always been in hip-hop. When you go back to us losing artists like Scott LaRock,
right.
I think it's more publicized now. I think that we've lost our share of rappers to violence or producers or things of that nature. You know, Jam Master Jay. There's other artists who are on the come up and was taken from us. I think nowadays the term rapper is used loosely. So it's a lot of artists, people who we've never heard of, and just because they did a video or two, now they're being labeled as a rapper, but they're living this lifestyle. I definitely believe that we are promoting violence and negativity in our neighborhood and our communities, and it is reflecting. We've lost sight of the music. We've lost sight of humanity, lost sight of love. And social media is just the beast that's fueling it. So I can't act like social media is all negative. You know, I find it funny when people say they got to take a break. Me, my page feeds me because I follow all the right pages. I'm not following, you know,
right.
Of course I got a few gossip pages here and there, but I'm following pages. Billy Carson, I'm following 432 Hertz. I'm following pages that's teaching me and educating me on a daily basis, you know, pages about funding and stuff. So it's all about what you're feeding yourself and what you sign up for.
Yeah, it's about what you intake. It's kind of like intaking bad food daily. There, you intake junk food. Social media should be handled in the same fashion, because it could, believe it or not, play on your site.
Yeah, I think I should do a video and just shout out the pages that I do follow, because a lot of people, if they feel like their timeline is negative, I got pages that you should follow that'll really uplift you, you know?
And that's important. When we look at what goes on out there, like y'all were both saying so astutely and accurately, the diet of your, you know, internet information is either going to be, it's either going to enrich you or it's going to erase your mind. Either you're going to be having the vitamins or you're living vicarious. It's either going to invigorate or it's going to be venomous. It's one or the other. And that is highly of the utmost imperative. Because when we look at the culture today, even when we think about the music that we listen to, there was always wild. You know, it's kind of wild. When we listen to cool, I tell the youngest today, a lot of this shit y'all do don't impress us, because we grew up in the age of Two Live Crew, Cool G Rap, and N.W.A. So we were ready for this, but
we was already
even then
for
I don't. Yeah, but I don't think we were ready for some of the shenanigans that were coming today in terms of, you know, the over-the-top telling all your business. Look, if we did something back in the day that was maybe kind of not legal, we did it broadcast.
Right.
Damn, so don't want to rap about it.
No, I agree. It's out of control nowadays, you know, and social media is implicating a lot of people and a lot of crimes, and it's just really sad to see what's going on. And my brothers and sisters losing their lives or doing a lot of time for over this social media foolishness. So
now we probably got to wrap this up, Shook. I know you probably got some things to do, but tell us about this project. Yeah, but tell us about this project that you're working on and how it's different from any other previous projects.
Wow. Well, this one, it's the first time I've ever, well, not the first time. This is going back to the roots of the music that I made before the industry. Like, you know, Def Jam told me the way they wanted me to rap and sent me in a direction. But before then, I made music, Teen Pregnancy, and all type of, you know, party records and dance. That was what it was. So my whole career, I've rapped about negativity for the most part. That's the thing that got all the oohs and the ahs. So now that I've surrendered and I'm making real music, I get a joy, not a joy, but there's a certain vibe you get when you play your music for people and they cry. You know what I mean? So we're making music. We're making music. I don't want to put a genre on it, stamp on it. Me and Jack Doe was talking, just working on raising the frequency, higher frequency music. You know what I mean? Just raising the energy. That's it.
What does it feel like to have that type of freedom that you can express without obstacle? You can speak without being silenced, to have that creative outlet and that energy expressed in infinite leaps and bounds, you know, all
right. Damn, you're amazing, man. We got to write something together. You got to write an intro to
I
that
hit,
album.
I just hit you in the DM, T-Max in the DM.
Yeah, you know, you're
we'll
amazing.
Chop, we'll chop it up off air, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm still working on it because, you know, anything that you've done for more than 30 days becomes a habit. And I, unfortunately, been rapping like this for more than the better half of 2 decades. So I'm still
mm-hmm.
finding my freedom. I found it when I started writing R&B for other artists. So now I enjoy not having the constraint now of that 16 bar being so meticulous because I rap on the drum and I need the metaphor. Now, that's one thing that I do appreciate, that way the music is. There's so much freedom now. So you can be more creative, in my opinion.
Now tell us about the R&B aspect of what you were writing, please. I didn't know this.
I was writing for my cousin. We was working on an album. You know, and it didn't work out. We had a TV show on Bravo, First Family of Hip Hop. So you can go watch that if you want the story. I started doing music placements. We won an Emmy last year with Lizzo's show. Thank you. So we've done plenty of placements from Atlanta Housewives to Shaw's of Sunset to, you know, Paris Hilton. We worked on a lot. I worked on a lot. And then now it's full circle back to the only artist that can't disappoint me, myself.
And you are always going to be able to pick yourself up even when others let you down, because you still hold that crown. It's more than luck. It's about you having the stuff that raises you up and keeps you going up. You know, the rise is in the prize of what you see between the three eyes. You know.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you.
When you look at R&B today, because you did dabble in it, how do you feel about the state of R&B today in terms of how even that's marketed and the singers that are coming in with that?
Well, I was disappointed in it for a while until these new young ladies came in. Don't quote me right now, but I know like Money Long. I know that I forgot the other young lady name. I just know that's a lot of my brown skin melanin chocolate queens coming in with some good vibes. I know that's a lot of gentlemen coming out now. You got to go find the music, you know, because it's not extremely publicized or mainstream, but I definitely appreciate the shift that's coming, and I see good R&B coming back.
Man, shout out to SZA. Shout out to her. Shout
mm-hmm.
out to, you know, Sir, you know, of course, with Top Dog. October, London.
It's a lot of good talent out there right now. Like, you don't quote me on names and stuff. I follow a lot of talented artists, so I'm excited about where R&B is going.
R&B is a new renaissance to me. I mean, you got the ladies are carrying it right now.
Look. And when you're talking about how you got those placements with the TV shows you did, lady, how did that feel to know that you, things happen in the industry as it did, but then there's also what we call in the business the second life in terms of where you were getting these placements. What was that like to know that your talents were still being recognized and you were still contributing in a meaningful and dope way?
I was just thankful to be able to have a seat. You know, it's about being an alchemist and taking, you know, one material and changing it to something else. So I've
mm-hmm.
always reinvented myself. Like when I ran into Wyclef, you know, I just performed at the 50th hip-hop anniversary for Jersey. And he's like, yo, you keep reinventing yourself. You keep changing yourself. And I think that that's been, you know, very important in what I'm doing. You know, so it's just about just keep fighting, man, you know. And I'm so goddamn high, I don't even know if I answered the question that you just asked me, man, but shit.
It's all good. That's all good, Ma. Yeah, but it's one thing about the gift is that you know, and you know, what does Sonny tell your man in the Bronx tell? The worst thing in life is wasted talent. And obviously you have maximized it in terms of the talent that you've had in abundance and the gift you've been able to give.
It's been hard though, man. It's been difficult. I've wanted to quit so many times, and then something positive happened. Like just like the last year, I lost my mom, you know, and during the time everybody's
right.
celebrating this hip hop stuff, I'm watching it on TV and I feel forgotten. You know, even when they doing the 50s hip hop and they got the lesbians, like I'm like, God damn, I ain't even get a ticket to that train. So it was, of course, that type of thing and that type of darkness would discourage you. But then we get the call from MTV, and it's like I tell Jack all the time, it's like the carrot in front of the horse. So this whole time, the reason everybody's like, oh, you didn't give up, I'm like, because it's always something that keeps me going, you know.
And
just reading the feedback, and also just reading the feedback from the people that you know are supporting your work and following your journey. That alone keeps you motivated. That's what people don't understand. When you just reading it, it ain't about donating or sending money. It could be just reading a simple statement.
Yeah, I'm truly thankful for everybody who shows up, and most importantly, my number one supporter, my mom, you know what I mean? And I tell Jack all the time how much you mean to me and my team. I never let a day go by without them knowing how much I appreciate it, because I spent so many years out here without having a team and people who believe in me. So, really thankful.
And that's important. When you speak on your sexuality, obviously in the culture, it's become more open now in terms of expression, you know, from what it was years back. You are representing a community that didn't always, you know, have that voice to be who they were in terms of openly and expressing. For you and, you know, how, you know, and for the lesbian community, how does it feel that you are an ambassador, and not only an ambassador, but a genuine, you know, envoy of expression in a true and respected and dignified sense of it? You know, you're not going around acting crazy. You are just being able to represent a community that has been marginalized, but you can be the face of, you know, making sure that marginalization becomes a mainstream communication.
I've never been one to run around with the flag. And that's because I'm Chanel. I am who I am. I don't expect being put in anybody boxes. Now, to communicate with society and for them to identify me, not what I identify as, but for them, then I would have to say lesbian. But I'm not from the island of Lesbos. I just recently went to Greece, but I'm not a lesbian. I'm not from Lesbos. You know what I'm saying? If anything, I'm She God. And I embody whatever I feel like, you know. So that's one of the things. Like I don't feel like I'm the face of the community. I feel like I've just always been true to myself and whoever I am. You know what I mean? I celebrate who I am, and I celebrate people who live free. But like, if somebody in their bedroom like to eat chocolate off your back, it's a whole community. And be like, yo, this is what I do in my bedroom. I feel like what I do in my bedroom is not really anybody's business. You know what I mean?
Right.
I appreciate the freedom. And a lot of us, and I have to say it, a lot of us, you know, from Ellen to me or people before me, they fought for our community, I guess, to have the freedom that they have now. But at the same time, I don't identify as all that other stuff. Like, I'm me, and that's who I want to be.
Hey, look, you like
gotta
girls just like we like girls. Yeah, so you like girls just like we like girls. So, hey, we all got something in common with this. So that's a great thing.
It's about living. It's all about being who you are and being true to who you are.
That's all. No, I won't be nobody else. I enjoy being me.
Tell us about the trip to Greece. I was looking on your IG, and I saw, you know, you in Santorini. Did you hit Athens, you know, and all those spots as well?
Yeah, we took a crazy cruise. It was a 10-day cruise. We went all through Greece. We went all through Italy because I had a really rough year last year. So after the smoke cleared, I was like, I at least I tried. But my mother used to always say, no matter where you go, there you are. So I thought I was running from problems and things of that nature. But had a really good time. I got turned out on cruises because you get to go someplace real quick. And you get to enjoy everything, and then you get back on the boat. You know, that trip that we took, I don't want to do anything like that again for a long time. There's a lot of expeditions. You got to get off the boat early because you paid. So you better get off the boat early, and you better go see the city, and you better go to the ruins, and you know what I mean? Better taste the food. My next cruise I do, I'm just doing islands. Just tequila and sunshine, you know?
That's a way to see the world. In terms of the travel, tell us about some of the places that you have traveled around the world during your career.
Again, we're still working on getting that passport a little more dirty, but Cancun, I mean Mexico, Canada, Belize. Shout out to Belize. I love them out there.
Yeah,
Jamaica,
South America.
Yeah, Jamaica, Dominican Republic. Italy and Greece. That's the thing I want to tell you. Aruba. I'm forgetting Bahamas. I think that's it. I'm still working on it.
And look, you still filling up that passport book like a book of still filling up that passport book like a book of rhymes, you know, for all time.
Yeah. Is the motherland up there? Is the motherland up there?
It's on the bucket list.
Definitely.
To be honest with you, like, I took that trip because, like, I just wanted to go to the other side of the world. Like, I done been here, so it was spontaneous. We was up late night, and we just saw it, and we just booked it, you know? So that's what that was. But definitely going to go to Ghana soon, you know, South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go out there with him.
Yeah, I mean, Ghana, West Africa, of course, with Liberia and all that. You can't forget North Africa with Egypt, you know, and all them spots as well. Tunisia, you know, Morocco.
Zanzibar,
can't forget those.
Kenya. Right? Yeah. Sheffield, how we pronounce the islands. There's a lot to go see.
Yeah.
And what's dope about them, they appreciate the music too, man, because they appreciate the true essence of the music too. They don't follow trends like they do in the States.
Right. Definitely. And I got producers out there too, so shout out to my man husband. And so we working. So look, ladies and gentlemen, y'all can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at I Am Lady Luck, YouTube, it's Lady Luck. We got the new single Praise out right now. We definitely appreciate all the love and support. I'm truly grateful for all that. The video is out and the song is available to be streamed everywhere. We got the next single already lined up. So I'm just extremely thankful for all the support. And thank you guys for your time and having me tonight.
We appreciate you so much.
Big shout out to Jack Dope for making that happen too.
Absolutely.
And Jack, don't have to worry about him. He's my guy.
Definitely. Lady, I dropped a DM to you on your IG. So, you know, you want to get together some writer sessions, just hit me. We'll chop it up off air. Thank you again so much. Keep inspiring. Keep thriving. Keep rising. And keep, you know, thriving. You're an inspiration to so many. Keep that infinite, incredible energy of all things, you know, going strong and going long.
Appreciate you, man, and I definitely appreciate y'all time. Y'all be blessed.
Definitely. Appreciate you. One love, Ma.
On that note,
love
we up out of here. We up out of here. Catch us tomorrow night, same time, same channel, and we out.
Peace.